Our theme today is Supreme Advantage of Knowing Christ Jesus, My Lord. Supreme Advantage of Knowing Christ Jesus, My Lord. Shall we all say it? Supreme Advantage of Knowing Christ Jesus, My Lord. Again, Supreme Advantage of Knowing Christ Jesus, My Lord. Okay, we are taking our text from Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading from verse 8 to 16. Philippians 3 from verse 8, and we're going to read together. I want you to please pay attention to every line of the scripture that you're reading. This is the infallible word of God, and the word of God is quick and powerful. The word of God is alive. So what you're reading is like God speaking to you. Shall we all go? Ready, go? Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with Him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding Him more fully and clearly. For His sake, I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ, the Anointed One. Let's just stop here for a while. Let's go back to that verse 8. You see the kind of pride that this man possesses, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that I count everything as loss compared to the possession of what? The priceless privilege. It's a privilege to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He said the overwhelming preciousness. To him, it's an overwhelming preciousness. To him, it surpasses the worth of anything. There's no worth that can, there's no, it doesn't have any value. In other words, there's nothing to compare with the value of the knowledge of the Son of God. And he's saying, and supreme advantage, because the knowledge of him sets you apart. The knowledge of him will benefit you beyond measures. So that's why he called it the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. It's a progressive thing. From one level of glory to another level of glory. So it's not just hearing once, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing until the word becomes more real to you than whatever it is that is facing you. He said, I'm progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. And this is what he wants the church to do, to recognize, to understand him more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. And he said, for his sake, I have done what? For his sake, I have done what? I have lost everything and consider it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may gain Christ, the Anointed One. I wanted to comment on this because, you know, the Bible said in Luke chapter 10, talking about Mary, when Jesus Christ spoke to the Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, Martha. He said, one thing is needful. And he said that Mary has chosen that good part that is advantageous to her, and nothing can take it away from her. That means that there are things that could come to take the knowledge you have, but because you know that you know that you know, because you have taken time to study and you know, when the chiefs are down, you take your stand and you stand your ground and you say, I know in whom I have believed. And that's why Jesus commented and said, one thing is necessary, one thing is needful, and that is the revelation of who Jesus is and who you are in him. Amen? And that's why he told us also in Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11, How do you what made the Father, what made Jesus to give some gift to the church? He gave us the gifts of teachers, of apostles, of evangelists, of pastors. Why? Because of the supreme advantage of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he knows that that's to our benefit. So he gave us those gifts in the church, and he said that the reason he gave them is for the equipping of the saints of God. Who are the saints? The believers. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are part of it. And he said that that's their responsibility. And to build his body. Who are his body? We are his body. If you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said in Ephesians 5:30, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So he put these gifts in the church to teach us, to equip us, until when? Verse 13 says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son, that we will be matured in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. That's just what the Father wants, and that's what Jesus wants. For us to grow to the point that we measure up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Standard of Christ in the sense that there was a need for food. He just blessed a little, loaves of, bread and how many fishes. And it fed thousands. Somebody was dead. He just said, Talitha kumi, and he came alive. We will measure up to the other food, because he said that this sign shall follow them that believe in me. In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It is we, the believers, that are Christ's representatives, that to lay hands on the sick. Because it is expected that you will flourish in good health. And it doesn't mean that challenges or sickness will not come, but when it comes, you know how to nip it on the bud, because you know that the life of Christ is oozing out in you, and the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in you, quickening your mortal bodies, not your spiritual, quickening your mortal bodies and supplying life to every dead area. So if there's any part of your body that is showing death, you speak to it, hey, there is a life that is oozing out. Boom, 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 24/7. And it's supplying life to you. So it's a matter of time. You know that one will just pass away and life will begin to function there. Amen? So that's why he gave gifts to the church, to build the body up. And that's why it's important that we avail ourselves of every opportunity to be in church. The best place to be is in the church. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He said, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. You can't gain this benefit if you stay back home, because these gifts are given to the body. They are in the church, the pastors, the teachers. You find them here in the church to break the bread of life, so that you get to understand who you are and who Christ is. Praise the Lord. So for you to do that, it calls for denial of yourself. You have to forget all of about yourself. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 16, 24 to 27, I didn't give him that, in AMPC. He said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to be my disciples, let him deny himself, disregard, lose sight of, and forget himself and his own interests, and take up his cross and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also. And verse 25 says, for whoever is bent on saving his temporal life, his comfort and security here, you want to get all the gettables. And yet the Bible said, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first the kingdom, because the Bible said that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is where we live now. We are now in the kingdom of his Son. You need to understand how things operate in the kingdom where you now belong. You need to understand the gift of righteousness that you have, that is not based on your performance. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it says, every other thing, everything you need for life from godliness is already there. And it will be supplied nyafu nyafu to overflowing, including good health. But you have to first of all seek first the kingdom of God. God, and that will be your daily pursuit. Your daily pursuit. That will be your thinking, your breathing, your speaking. Your life is just simply Christ. Amen? That's basically what Paul is saying there. And the Bible said in verse 26, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world? You want to get 10 buildings. You want to get all the clothes, the newest fashion. You want to be part of it. But you don't take time to ponder about your soul, to wonder about the real you. You can imagine us taking so much time to take care of this building, but we don't take time to take care of the life that this building is supposed to harbor. The thing that you're seeing here is just the house housing you. The real you is your born-again person. So you must take time to take good care of this, your real life. Because when your real life is flourishing, every other thing is guaranteed to flourish. Amen? He said, for the Son of Man is going to come in the glory, majesty, splendor of his Father with his angels, and then he will render account and reward every man in accordance with what he has done. He's going to reward us based on what we did with the life that he gave us. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus is basically Paul's life. The Bible is his life. That's why he was talking about this. Let's go back to that Ephesians. Philippians chapter 3. So let's continue. He said, verse 9. He said, and that I may actually be found and known as in him. I, Dorothy Emmanuel, want to be found and be known as Jesus Christ's younger sister in my actions, in my utterances, and when situations or challenges come, I want to get victory the way he gets victory. But it comes through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and who I am in him. And he said, not having any self-achieved righteousness that can be called my own based on my obedience to the Lord's demands, ritualistic uprightness, and supposed right standing with God that thus acquired, but possessing that genuine righteousness which comes through faith in Christ, the anointed one, the truly right standing with God which comes from God by saving faith. That's what he was asking for. This is his pursuit. Of course, the Bible said in Romans chapter 5, verse 17, that those that have received abundance of what? Abundance of grace and the gifts of righteousness will reign in life. You have the real life. Life as God will have it. And Jesus came that you might have life and have it to the full until it overflows. You have life and have it to the full until it overflows when you're enjoying good health. When sickness shows up, you know how to deal with it. When it is provision, you know how to supply it. Whatever it is that you need, you have life to the full until it overflows. So, this is my heart desire too. And the Bible said, in righteousness you shall be established. The Bible said you shall be far from oppression. In Isaiah chapter 54, I think, from verse 15. And he said that every tongue that shall rise in judgment against you, who is supposed to condemn it? I'm the one. But if I don't know how to do that, and I don't know that I've been authorized to do that, and I don't even know when to apply it, then the devil will be messing me around. He said, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And he said, my righteousness, their righteousness is from me. From who? From Jesus. Because it's a gift of righteousness. There was a divine exchange that took place when Jesus Christ took our place of sin and gave us his place of righteousness. The Bible said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. A divine exchange took place that brought you into the family of God. Jesus took your place of sin. It was that sin that brought him on the cross. He died in our stead. So you must understand this, but it comes through studying and fellowshipping with the word so that you get to know exactly what this Jesus did for you. So that when you stand boldly, you stand confidently. When you're taking authority, you're taking it boldly and you're taking it with confidence because you know that this is mine. You can't take it away from me. Amen? Praise the Lord. And then let's continue. Verse 10. It said, for my determined purpose is what? Let's read it together. That I may know him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which he exerts over who? Over believers. That power is available to you. It's all yours. That's why the believer, you lay hands on the sick. That's a recovery. And people are wondering, this person just touched this person. But you don't just touch and it happens if you don't know that you know that you know. I don't forget one of my colleagues. I was just standing outside doing my break. And all of a sudden, I saw two supervisors holding this lady. This person was holding her, and she was just doing this like they were kind of trying to lift her up. So and when they walked over to me, they were just walking past me. I said, what's happened? What's wrong with her? And they say her heart is failing her, and then they are trying to rush her to the hospital. I say, hey, I say, hold it. Hey, you heart. Because I know she's a believer too. I say, you heart in Jesus' name. I just spoke to the heart. I said, I command you to line up with the health of Christ that is in you. And you heart, I said, whatever is responsible for this, I speak to you. I curse you to your root. I command you right now, be lifted from this heart. And you heart, begin to function properly and normally in Jesus' name. Right after I said that, I continued with my walk. They were still going to the vehicle. By the time I turned around again, they were all heading back to this thing. So I went. When I went in, I said, what happened? She said she was okay. It won't work for anybody. You just simply believe it. Until today, that lady now starts greeting me in a special way. Like as if I was the one who did it. It was just simply God glorifying the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? But you have to know that you know that you know. Because it's all yours as a child of God. That's why he said, the power which it exerts over believers. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 12. Let's read verse 12 together. It says, not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that for which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold on me and made me his own. We are his representatives. Whatever he did, he said that greater works than he did, we shall do. And we haven't done the lower ones. It's because of ignorance. It's because we don't know who we are. It's because we don't know who he has made us to be. And then look at verse 15. I'm going to be jumping because of time. Verse 15. Okay, 14, 15. Let's read. Ready, go. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. 15. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make this clear to you also. Verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have already attained and walk and order our lives by that. Whatever you already know, let that be operative in your life. Let that be functioning for you. Let that be benefiting you. If you know it, but if you don't know it, study and study until you know it. You know that you know it when you can tap it or harness it to your own advantage. And God will let you know if that conviction is not in you to know Christ, who is your life. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible said that, like Paul said in Philippians 1:21, he said, for me to live is Christ. He is my source of joy, my reason to live. And to die is gain. That's talking about Philippians 1:21. Paul's life is Jesus Christ. He's living, he's breathing, everything is Jesus Christ. And that's how it has to be for every child of God. And he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, for I am determined not to know anything among you except what? Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I know. That's all I care to know. That's all I know. My waking moment down to the time I'm going back to bed is only Jesus I know. I go to work, is only Jesus I know. That's me too. Amen? Because Paul understands that Christian joy is independent of outward conditions. It is through Christ alone that, you know, a Christian joy is realized, and that is the same for every grace that God has made available to you and I. So that's why he said in that 1 Corinthians 2:5, he said that your faith should not be what? In the wisdom of men. Don't think you know it, but your faith should be where? In the power of God. Your faith should be where? In the power of God. And who is the power of God? Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's what he said in verse 24. Let's read it there so you see it for yourself. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Gentiles, Christ is what? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Amen? So knowing Jesus means knowing God, knowing the power of God, knowing the wisdom of God. And imagine what happened to you when you're operating based on the wisdom of God. Even verse 30 told us that, you know, but it is from him. Let's read that one too. But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus. You are, is it, so hold on. Is it, it is from him. Who is the first him? God. You are from God. That it is from God that you are in Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus, who became what to us was wisdom from God, that is revealing his plan of salvation and also righteousness, making us acceptable to God, and what again? Sanctification, making us holy and setting us apart for God, and redemption, providing our ransom from the penalty of sin. These things are already accomplished because he already finished all that over 2,000 years ago. So Jesus Christ is our salvation. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4:21 that there is no other name that is given among men whereby we shall be saved. It's only who? Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, there is no salvation in any other name. When you talk about salvation, it's not just only saved from sin. It's talking about provision. It's talking about protection. It's talking about healing, health, whatever it is you need for life and godliness, that is salvation package. And they all come through who? Jesus. They all come through who? Jesus. Amen? And he said in the lower part of that, he said, Acts chapter 4, verse 12. He said, for God has provided the world no alternative for salvation. There is no alternative for salvation. Christ already purchased our freedom. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Let's look at verse 13. We're going to read it together. Ready, go. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, doom of the law, and its condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that is crucified, verse 14, to the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Spirit. Amen? Christ purchased our freedom. He redeemed us from every curse of the law. If you want to know what these curses are, go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. The first 14 verses will tell you all the blessings that come upon you because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 15, it will begin to tell you all the curses. Whatever is a curse, is anything that is not giving you joy, anything that is not a blessing, it comes under those things. And he said that Jesus Christ, by what he did, he redeemed us from every one of them. You must get to know these things so that if any one of them is found in your life or in your situation or in your family, don't be complacent. Get angry and run it out of your life, run it out of your family. The Bible said that we should submit to God, that is, be, agree with God. And the Bible said, resist the devil, resist whatever is challenging what you know is already yours, that Jesus Christ died to give you. And the Bible said, when you resist, it's not passively, you resist with force, because it's attacking you with force. Resist steadfast in the faith. What does it mean, steadfast? Stand on the ground of what Jesus did for you. And whatever it is, will just know, this one knows, and it will just leave you alone. Praise the Lord. I don't forget when we had a lot of curses operating in my family. It was the revelation that my husband had, because he began to read a lot of Kenneth Hagin, a lot of these books. And when his eyes opened to the fact that Jesus already redeemed us from the curse, hey! Every morning, every night, we read this Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14. And when we read it, we begin to thank God for what Jesus already delivered us from. And then we begin to pronounce what Jesus already provided for us. It didn't take long. Sickness fizzled out from my family. It didn't take long. Poverty fizzled out from my family. We began to flourish. But not until he got that revelation and he brought his whole family into it, and we all began to profess and to confess what Jesus did, and we began to thank him for that, then we began to have the experiential part of it. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in John 16:33 that he deprived the world of the power to harm you. I mean, why would these things be there if it's not real, if it's not so? But the thing is, the experiential part of it, that's where the crux of the matter is. But we need to know it for it to become ours. He deprived the world of the matter to of the power to harm us. And Hebrews 7:25, the Bible said there, therefore he is able, talking about Jesus Christ, he's able also to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him. Have you come to God through Jesus Christ? The Bible said that he, Jesus Christ, is able to save you to the uttermost. And he said completely, perfectly, and finally, and for all time and eternity. Why? He said, since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him, and intervene for us. Praise the Lord. So just like Jesus Christ is the life of Paul, you must understand that Christ also is your life. Please, may I have my bag, please? I forgot something I wanted to take. Let's open to Colossians chapter 3 from verse... Colossians chapter 3, let's look at verse 1. Thank you. I've shown this before, but you know, we get to understand these things. The Bible said, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, that's if you're born again, thus sharing his resurrection from death, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 3, let's look at verse 3. Okay, verse 2, it says, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. You see, that's how you get these things. When you set your affections on things that are on high, when you set your affections on where Jesus is, he is the only one that the Father authorized us to focus on. He said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he said, looking away from all that will distract unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, because he is your life. Let's look at verse 3. Let's read it together. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your new real life is where? It's hidden with Christ in God. Your new real life is where? It's hidden with Christ in God. So, I mean, the ideal thing is for you to really get to understand where your new domain. Remember we said in that God already transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So you are now in a new kingdom. You are now a citizen of heaven. So you must study how things operate in the new kingdom where you are. That's where your new real life is. And verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears. That's just what I want you to understand. That Jesus Christ is now your life. Now look at this. The Bible said your life is hid with Christ in God. Assuming this is God, and this is Jesus, and Jesus is in God, and you are in Christ. So the Bible says your life is hid with Christ in God. So why will you live understanding your new domain and you're busy looking at outside? Anything outside is going to affect you negatively because that's not where you're supposed called to be. The Bible said in, I think it's Acts chapter 17, 20, say, in him we live and move and do what? And have our being. This is where your life is. So you should be busy understanding how your life operates from this here. And the benefits, everything about here. That's why he said if you be risen with Christ, you set your affections on things. Where you are. Set your affections on where you are. Not outside. Amen. It's the Lord. So we must have to pursue vigorously the revelation, the understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus. And if you look at verse 15, he said, and let the peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule, act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. Which means a Christian is not supposed to be confused. If you're confused, it means you don't know who you are in Christ. You have not taken time. Maybe you get your mind chuckled with all manner of things. So you are not able to understand what is happening. So you're not able to hear and understand what the will of God is for you. If you listen to the DVD, it says, you allow God to renew your mind so that you may be able to know what is the will of God for your life. That's how you get to know. Amen? And 16 said, let the word spoken by Christ, the Messiah, have its home in your heart and mind and dwell in you in all its richness as you teach and admonish. So in other words, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. It takes effort for the word of Christ to richly dwell in you because you must have to give time to study it. You must have to give time to meditate on it. Amen? So, this is the crux of the matter, and this is part of what we are sharing today, to, like Paul, begin to pursue the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. When he says the way, is only one way. There's no other way. Don't let anybody convince you there's any other way. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to life. There is no other way other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to have your eyes on him, like the Father encouraged us to do. You don't have to allow anything to agitate you, to worry you, if you have your mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in that John chapter 14, it amazed me, and I just noted it here. He said, Jesus Christ talking there. He said, I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, evil genius, ruler of the world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. In the same manner, he doesn't have any power over any child of God. We give him power when we begin to rattle our mind. He's spinning, this thing is spinning me, it's spinning me. Is that what you're supposed to say? When God saw darkness, what did he say? It is too dark, it's too dark. What did he say? You speak what you want. Faith is calling those things that be not as though they are, and the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, we live by faith. So when anything that is contrary to the blessing that Jesus brought for you is happening, what are you supposed to say? Hey, I have good news for you. You're healed in Jesus' name. So whatever is responsible for this pain, I curse you to your root. Wrists, you are healed. So line up with the health of Jesus. That is, God wants you to speak his language. So when he say it's paining you, then all your attention will be drawn there. Then the next thing is, it will pain you the more. And then your eyes say, oh, it's even swelling up. And as you're speaking it, you are empowering the demon spirit to help you to manifest it. Because the angel of God, they hearken to the voice of his word. They don't hearken to the voice of the enemy. You're speaking like the language of the enemy. And the enemy will help you to make it happen. Because two cannot work together except they are in agreement. By endorsing that, you're in agreement with them. And they will help you to manifest. When you choose to begin to speak the language of God, God will see to it that his scripture will never be broken. Amen? So the Bible said that Jesus Christ is the vine, and we draw our nourishment through him. He's the vine. We draw our nourishment through him. Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 1. I don't know if I gave it to you. Okay, let's look at it together. Ready? Go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 4. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself without remaining in the vine, neither can you bear fruit producing evidence of your faith. Let's repeat that. Producing evidence of your faith. Let's repeat that. Producing evidence of your faith. Unless you do what? You remain in me. You have to remain in him to be able to produce the evidence of your faith, your healing, your provision, whatever it is. And that's why in verse 5 he said, apart from me, you can do what? If you're not vitally united to me, you can do absolutely nothing. It is not that those powers are not in you, but the experiential part of it will be zero because you are not attached. Look at that tree. Look at that. You see those branches? Can you see the fruits on them? If those branches are not attached to the tree, there's no way they will bear fruit. There is absolutely no way. Now, every nourishment is coming through the tree. Is that not so? And Jesus Christ is telling us here, I am that tree, I'm the vine. And we are the branches, according to verse 4. For you to produce the evidence of your faith in me, the proof that you are attached to me, you have to remain attached to me. You have to remain there. And to remain there, that means you have to know, you have to study, you have to meditate. You have to live by Jesus Christ, by the word of God. The word of God will become part and parcel of your life. Amen? You know, there's a portion my husband was sharing with me yesterday, and I told him I'm going to read it. He encouraged me to read it to the church. Now, let's look at it. He said, I'm going to read it. That's by Andrew Murray, the same person. He said, to help, my desire to help those who have not yet fully understood what it means to abide in him, or who have fear that it is a life beyond their reach, is why these meditations are now published. It is only by frequent repetition that a child learns its lessons. Only by continuously fixing the mind. Fixing the mind where? On Christ Jesus. How do you fix your mind on him? Do you see him physically? You fix your mind, you take time to study, to meditate on the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he was telling us this morning, is the manna, that Jesus Christ is the manna from heaven. You have to feed on him. He said, fixing the mind for a time on one of the lessons of faith is the believer gradually helped to take and thoroughly assimilate its benefits. We're talking about the benefits, not just head knowledge. But for these things to benefit you, you have to remain attached to the vine. Amen? And Jesus Christ is the vine. And the Bible said that we are seated together. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. We are seated together. So you can imagine that this is God, and you are in union with Christ, and this is God. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ is where? Where is he? At the right hand of the Father, and this is my right hand, but I think this should be your right hand, isn't it? Is that your right hand? Okay, so that, let me put it here. So this is God, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and you are seated together with him, seated together with him. And the Bible said that God has exalted Jesus and has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. If you're seated together with him, every other name is also where? Under your feet. Because you're seated with him far above. You're seated with him where? Far above all principalities, all powers, all dominion, every name that is named, not just in this life, but even in that which is to come. Whether you call it cancer, whether you call it a tumor, whether you call it, maybe you're broken in your pulse, there's no money there. The Bible said you are seated together with Christ. Whatever happens to him is happening to you. Praise the Lord. So remember, he's your life. So you're seated together with him. The Bible said that when you get to know these things, you have boldness. And then when you're declaring with authority, because you know who you are. You know your sitting position. You know you're seated with Christ. And everything that belongs to him is all yours. Praise the Lord. So, that's why, we said we have access to God through Jesus Christ. I mean, this is you and Christ. So, you, daddy is just right there. So, you can say daddy. And then Jesus will say, yes, daddy, this one is also mine. And daddy will say, yes, my dear. That's why when we go to God in prayer, according to John chapter 16, from verse 3, we say, Father, in the name of Jesus. In other words, Father, not based on my qualification. Jesus is my qualification. And the moment you mention Jesus, because he's the beloved Son of God, in whom he's well pleased, and you are in him, so automatically you are the beloved son or daughter of God in whom he's well pleased, and he's going to listen to you. Praise the Lord. So you go to God with a privileged advantage because you know that you are accepted in the beloved. The day you say yes to Jesus, that's the day God accepted you as his. He adopted you into his family. I used to tell them that, when God adopted you, it means that automatically you are made a child of God. Your last name becomes his last name. That's why you're called children of God. That's why the Bible says, ye are all sons of God. Praise the Lord. So, we need to spend time to understand these things, to know these things for ourselves. It is Jesus Christ in you. He's the one who infuses the inner strength, according to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. He said, he's the one who infuses the inner strength, who enables you to live this kind of life, this his life. He's the one who empowers you. But if you don't know him, then you might not know the power that is available to you. So like Paul said, it is no longer I that live it. You must grow to the point when it is no longer you that lives. According to Galatians chapter 5, chapter 2, verse 20. You must grow to the point where it is no longer you that live. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died for us and rose again. Which means it has to be the life of Christ coming out through you. And that's exactly what they were teaching us in the DVD that we watched. Because we have the mind of Christ. So you should think like him, you should talk like him, you should act like him. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, so we have the mind of Christ. So don't operate based on your own mind. When you operate based on your own mind, that is the mind of the flesh. That is a carnal-minded person. And the Bible said, is equal to death. Do we have to operate based on the new mind that we have, the mind of Christ, the real us? Amen? And that's why Paul prayed this prayer for the church, that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened, that we may know. And Pastor Kemi prayed so beautifully using that scripture this morning, that you should make that prayer your daily prayer. I made that prayer my daily prayer ever since my husband preached on that. I think it's 2009. I noted it and I've been praying that prayer every day. Amen.
So these things are so important. You know, the other time Pastor Victor was teaching us based on Proverbs chapter 24, 3 and 4, he said, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house. That is the house here, because God refers to us as a house, life, a home, a family is built. And he said, by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. But then it is by knowledge, that is by revelation of what, of that wisdom. When you understand that wisdom and then you keep studying on it until it becomes a revelation, that's when then, he said, the chambers of your life, of your family, of your house will be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So it has to go by you desiring, make it a pursuit, value the revelation, the knowledge of Jesus above all else, and begin to pursue it, and then begin to seek to understand it. You keep on understanding. And when you say, oh my goodness, I get it, that's when revelation has shown. And then that's when you begin to apply it, and then that's when it begins to benefit you. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 2, 3, 9, and 10, Colossians chapter 2, he said, in him, Jesus Christ, all the treasures of divine wisdom, comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and all the riches of spiritual knowledge and enlightenment are stored up and lie hidden. Why hidden? Because if it's a treasure to you, you have to pursue it. I mean, if you know that there is gold here, you're going to spend whatever you have, you want to dig it and get it because you know how valuable it is. If the word of God, if the revelation of Jesus Christ is a treasure to you, then you have to begin to pursue it, to know it for yourself. And when you begin to seek it, to know it, then God begins to open up to you. My precious daughter was sharing with us, Adana Irona was sharing with us, 2 Peter chapter 1. So that grace and peace is multiplied to the knowledge of God and of Jesus. Knowing God means knowing Jesus. And that's what we call eternal life. We sing it in song. I want to live eternal life, God save me. You want to understand Jesus. You want to understand God and what is yours and how to really, benefit from everything that he died to give you. Praise the Lord. So the deeper the revelation of Jesus you have, then, like the Bible said in Deuteronomy 33:25, the Bible says, as your day, so shall your strength and your rest and security be. As your day, as you keep getting deeper and deeper revelation of him, you know better to stand, and your life will continue to flourish. Because all the promises of God are all answered yes in Christ Jesus. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Jesus is the guarantee that everything that God has made available to you is yours. But you have to append your amen, which means you have to be in agreement. But if you're not fully persuaded, you're not going to say amen. Even if you say amen verbally, but in your heart, you're not so sure of it. Praise the Lord. Because faith is a decision. Faith is a choice. You have to choose to believe what the word said. I don't care what anybody is telling me. This is what the Bible said, and I'm sticking my neck to it. If God ever said this, that settles it to me, because I know that Jesus Christ guaranteed it. Amen? He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14, he said, God is always causing us to triumph. So your triumph is a guarantee, but it's only guaranteed in Christ Jesus. I mean, if you know it, then you should spend your time studying to know about this Jesus and all the benefits that accrues to you because of him. Praise the Lord. So we have to live by faith. We are called to a life of faith. We have been born again through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and every other thing that we need from God has to come by just simply believing. It comes by faith. Amen? So what is this faith? Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, let's read it together. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real, a real fact, what is not revealed to the senses. You see what faith is? He says, it's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. See, I hope that this thing will stop paining me. That's a hope. It's paining me. Now I go to the word of God, and the word of God said, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. I say, oh wow, I'm healed. It's a done deal. The moment I see it in the word, my believing in, my agreeing with what the word said is faith. I trust what the word said, and then I call it done. So faith does not call those things that are as though they are. They are not. Like this thing is paining me, and I say, it's not paining me. You're not paining me. Faith does not call those things that are as though they are not. Because the reality is reality. It's paining me. But because I know what the word said, faith calls those things that are not. What are those things that are not? This is paining me. But I call it that it's not paining me because I know what the word said. So faith calls those things that are not as though they are. And you cannot call those things that are not as though they are if you don't know what the word said. And even if you know what the word said, if you don't agree with what the word said, it becomes hope. I said, I hope that this thing stops. So, well, I'm just believing God, Sha. Believing God, Sha. Don't believe anything. Because the basis of your faith is the incorruptible word of God, the incorruptible seed of the word of God. If the word of God ever says it, and you believe, then that's faith. If the word says it, and you believe it, that's faith. So that's why the Bible said that your faith is, you see, the conviction of their reality. Of the reality of the fact that this thing is no longer paining me. The conviction of the reality of the fact that I'm healed, even though physically, facts, is paining me. But I know that I'm healed because the word said himself carried away. If he carried it away, I don't have it. But I have to believe it. So faith is the conviction of the reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to natural senses. My natural senses is telling me it's paining me, but my faith says it's a done deal. Why will I say it's a done deal? Because I know that I know that I know. The word said so. It's not just enough for you to know by his stripes you were healed. But has it become a revelation? It's when it becomes a revelation. Even if they are pushing you, you say, no way, I'm healed. It's a done deal. And you're happy. It's not affecting your joy because you know that you know that you know that it's a done deal. Amen? Praise the Lord. The Bible said in 1 John 5, 4 and 5, said the victory that has overcome the world is our faith in Jesus, the Son of God. That's 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading portion of verse 4. He said, for everyone born of God is victorious and overcome the world. When we talk about the world, everything that is affecting you negatively is part of the world. He said, and this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world, our continuing persistent faith in Jesus, the Son of God, in what he did for us. You persist. You say, no way. The Bible said that since the time of John the Baptist, said that the kingdom of God does what? Is suffering violence. But the violence will do what? Take it by force. It's mine. You can't take it from me. I know he paid it all. He carried it. It's no longer here. It's all mine. You have to be tenacious about it. You don't have to be complacent about it. You don't have to say, maybe God is teaching me something with it. God doesn't teach his children with sickness. Is there any parent here because you want to teach your child a lesson, you pump or you crush your child's leg and you say, I'm just trying to teach you a lesson. Nobody does that. If we, being evil, know how to give good things to our own children, how much more will our Heavenly Father? Praise the Lord. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, ignorance. So faith will say about itself everything that the Word of God says, not what the natural senses are saying. Faith is simply absolute truth in God's Word. And the basis of faith, like we said, is the Word of God. The Word of God gives us the conviction that what we cannot see with our physical eyes is a reality. That you cannot see your healing with the physical eyes does not mean that it doesn't exist. It's said there in the spiritual realm, but you have to learn to put it out to your benefit on the outside. And the Word of God, the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, say, for the Word of God is living and active, power, it is more than any two-edged sword, as division, soul and spirit, the complete of that part of you that will not. It's not part of you that the world will not reach. But you have to just keep on feeding on the Word, feeding on the Word. The Bible said, as you have therefore received the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. How did you receive him? You just simply believed and you're saved. In the same manner, by believing, you get every other graces that he has made available. But you have to have your roots deep in him. He said, have the roots of your being down rooted in him. And the Bible said that you will surely overflow with thanksgiving at the end. Will surely overflow with thanksgiving at the end. Just keep on believing, keep on studying, keep on enriching yourself with the Word. Amen? And it takes time for the Word of God. What our pastor was teaching this morning, it takes time. You cannot cram the Word of God. You can cram the Word of God, because I remember we teach our children, we cram and they come here, they recite. But you can't cram the wisdom of God, and you can't cram the revelation. You can't cram the wisdom of God. You can't cram the understanding of the Word of God. It's a process. So let's look at Mark chapter 4, 24 to 32. Verse 24 says, let's look at it together. Ready, go. Then he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By your own standard of measurement, that is, to the extent that you study spiritual truth and apply godly wisdom, it will be measured to you. And you will be given even greater ability to respond. And more will be given to you besides. You see what he's saying? You pay attention to what you hear. He said, by your own standard of measurement, you come to church, the Word of God is going. What type of soil are you? What type of soil is your heart? Is it receptive to the Word of God? Is it paying attention to the Word of God? Or is it time for you to begin to go through all the internet to answer all your texts? It depends on the value that you have for the Word of God, for the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, it will be measured to you and you will be given even greater ability to respond to the Word of God. In other words, to be able to respond when the chips are down. He said, no, I know what the Word said. Greater ability will be given to you to respond to what you know. And more will be given to you besides. Verse 25, for whoever has a teachable heart. For whoever does what? Has a teachable heart. He said, to him, more what will be given? More understanding will be given. And whoever does not have a yearning for truth, even what he has will be taken away from him. You don't want that to be your portion in Jesus' name. So each time you come and the Word of God is going on, you have to purpose in your heart to pay attention. If anybody is going to distract you, disturb you, leave that seat and go to a place where you'll be able to properly focus and pay attention. So, but you know that as you keep feeding on the word of God, something definitely is happening in your life. Something definitely is happening. Look at verse 26. It said, then he said, the kingdom of God is like a man who throws seed on the ground, verse 27, and he goes to bed at night and gets up every day, and in the meantime, the seed sprouts and grows. How he does this, he does not know. You might not know something is happening to your life, but definitely, because we are talking about the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And the Bible said the scripture cannot be broken. His word will never return unto him void. So long as you keep feeding and feeding and feeding, it looks like nothing is happening, but certainly, because the word of God is yea and amen, certainly, things are happening in your life and in your situation. So it might come to the point when, like Mark 4:20, that's still part of where we are reading, I'm reading AMPC, he said, you might today be bearing 30 times as much as was sown in you, or maybe 60 times, or maybe, I don't know what is the, how many times that what is being sown in you is showing forth in your life. But just be patient. Verse 20 says, and those sown on the good, well-adopted soil, the good what? Well-adopted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it. They hear, they listen, they don't allow anybody to distract them. They do what again? They receive what they had and they accept it and they welcome it. And it bears fruit some 30 times as much as was sown. Because it's with the measure with which you pour in is what is going to be poured out from you. It says some 60 times as much and some even 100 times as much. So the word you listen to will always produce. The word you listen to will always produce. If you're listening to the word of life, the treasures of heaven, the word of God, it will produce life. But if you plug your heart with a lot of all manner of things, it is garbage in, garbage out. But the word will always produce, and it's a matter of time, what you have stored inside is going to begin to show on the outside. So don't look down on the word that you're hearing. Each time this door is open and you come in, just keep listening. Just keep listening. It is on the day of testing that you will know how much has taken place in your life. Amen? And then verse 30. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use to illustrate and explain it? Verse 31. It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, even though it is smaller than all the other seeds that are sown on the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden herbs. And it puts out large branches so that the birds of the sky are able to make nests and live under its shade. You see what he's saying? The word, it looks like nothing. People trivialize the word of the air. This one. Like they told my husband, you keep carrying the Bible. This one, better know who is going to train your children. Every time he's carrying the Bible. But now, all those people that we are saying that, they are now calling him for help. They are now calling him for advice. When you keep on feeding on the word of God, like he said in that verse 32, he says, so that the birds of the air and of the sky are able to make nests and live under its shade. But it started by you disciplining yourself, being diligent to study the word of God, to get to know who you are in Christ. And then you get to be bold about it. So as you continue to fellowship with the word of God, the Bible said it's like beholding yourself, it's like, looking at into the law of liberty that sets you free, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, your life is being transformed into his very own image. What image is that? Jesus Christ. Your life is being transformed from one level of glory to another level of glory, to another level of glory. But patiently keep on studying, value the word of God, cherish the word of God, the infallible seed of the word of God, it will always produce. The Bible said, those that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do what? They will carry on great exploit. What is that exploit? When challenges come, the fact that you're able to stand and you come here and you're giving testimony. You're giving testimony because you're able to stand, because you know what the word said about you. Praise the Lord. So like I said, you know, during our Sunday school, that Kenneth E. Hagin said, he said, if you are willing to stand forever, you won't have to stand for too long. If you're willing, having heard the word, having done all to stand, he says, stand your therefore. Take your stand because you know that you know that you know that he paid it all for you. If you're willing to stand forever, you won't stand for too long. It won't take long. That thing that you want, it will manifest on the physical. Because God will always confirm his word through signs and wonders. But you have to be rooted on the word of God. Value the word of God. Cherish the word of God. Pursue the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guarantee you, your life will become a living testimony for his glory. You won't regret it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just listen to the short testimony that will confirm, you know, all the things.